Well, let's get started.
We don't have to, but I'm gonna get started. Keep that up. We'll start where we started. I, by the way, am Richard Kemmerer, a Holden veteran, and my son Matthew, who makes all of this stuff possible. Yeah, incredible.
Yeah.
Big, big help. And he participated in the creating of some of these, of many of these, church bulletins. We bring this out because what we've spent the week on is illustrating or visual artistic representations of gospel lessons, of the stories of the gospel. And so we brought these up from home because these are all regular church bulletins for the Lutheran Church of Canada, cycle A, B, and C, done three times, something like that. Yeah, at any rate, over 500 bulletin designs by the time we just kind of wore out. And so at any rate, that's what they're doing there, and you can look at them at your leisure. We started each of the four previous sessions with this picture. You know who did it? Oh, don't just shake your head. Tell me. There you go. Okay. You know where it is? Oh gosh, this night is just gonna whiz by. Okay. There are some things that you may not know. And I use this as an example of paying really close attention, because some things that aren't there are just as important as some things that are. This is, of course, the arm and hand of God putting life into the kind of limp hand of Adam. All right? If you can make this out, you will see that the arm of Adam was altered a couple of times. I think Michelangelo thought he better leave the arm of God alone so that, you know, he can get into trouble. But you will see a couple of variations. This outline up here and down here, you see it? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then it curves here after it touches the finger. It's actually touching the other finger. In the process of doing this, Michelangelo came across, he was right on top of the working choir and worship services down below. And the choir sang one of these songs, traditional hymn, Italian hymn, which one passage reads, "The sevenfold gifts of grace are thine, O finger of the hand divine." Now, who's got sevenfold gifts?
The
Holy Spirit. So we got the Holy Spirit now represented by that space, that emptiness, the space between the two fingers. Okay? And so what isn't there or seems not to be there is as significant as what is. We've gone through this from the Nativity, in fact, all before the Nativity. We went back as far as the angel visiting Joseph and said, "Don't be afraid to take Mary." And we've come now through three long sessions to the Easter resurrection and post-ascension. Okay. Yes. there is a man I met taking a Grunewald Gill field trip over to England a couple months ago, and we met this artist who is an absolute funny, delightful guy. And he did things that were totally off the wall as far as traditional ways of depicting things. This is the big resurrection. Bodies are coming up out of the cemetery. This cemetery is St. John's in this artist's little village. Stanley Spencer is his name, and he would come up with the most unusual and delightful things. I think we have a couple of this. The tombs are all getting demolished. People are coming up out of them. People are giving a helping hand to people coming out. And there, can you make this kind of arbor? Mm-hmm. Under that arbor is God. Mm-hmm. And if I think I have a closer detail of this, he's holding twins. He's got twins in his lap. I guess they just got resurrected. There he is. He's got them there. So death and resurrection is a prominent motif in the Gospels. See the next one. See him? And look at these bodies. They're coming up. They're stretching. He did a whole big painting of families meeting their relatives that are coming up out of the ground, and people are fixing their grandmother's hair. Just fixing. That was in fact the title of the painting. Fixing. They just brushing things out and helping them stand and getting their sea legs back, and I mean it's naive and absolutely delightful.
Is that Moses on the right?
Well, he has every right to be here, but not necessarily at this church. This is England, so the English cemetery would probably not be for Moses, but he sure has a prophet look to him. He could be the earlier pastor of the church.
Okay. Well, but it looks like it's the two tablets of the law. That's why I asked.
Oh, yeah.
Either that or a washboard instrument.
So if that's a depiction of God, it looks very maternal.
Yeah.
Lace around the collar.
Over here?
Yeah.
That must be a pastor.
That skirt?
Yeah. It's charming, and at the same time, and it's a tough combination. Charming and serious. Okay. On the other hand, you've got these things, which this is a very, very fine artist by the name of Duccio, who is a Gothic Italian painter, and they hadn't yet figured out perspective. Okay, perspective would have to wait for the early Renaissance. So in fact, what we have is an inverse perspective, things getting wider and farther apart as they go back into space. So the vanishing point in reality perspective would be down the road. But here, it's kind of in our laps. It's coming down here. This is where everything shoots out. Some really, really strange and hard to look at different depictions of Christ rising, and where is he, and what does he look like, and is he all messed up? Is he gonna confront us with all of the wounds and disgusting things that have happened to him? So it varies, the choices that people make vary from country to country and time to time. I mean, these don't even look like soldiers. You know, this was the emperor's troop. Okay. a tapestry, a woven piece. This is delightful, these different depictions, because obviously the lid to that sarcophagus is not going to be there very long. It hasn't slid off. It is flying off. And only an angel could stand on that very long. The Marys have come to the tomb. It was a favorite device of artists at this time to have the surroundings support the individuals up front. So then you've got the mountains in the background assuming almost the same kind of outline and contour as the angel and the lid of the sarcophagus. Well, the three Marys back off. That's going to be a hard place to see these if you're interested in looking at them. Come on over.
Someone back over in here.
Yeah, that's okay. It's important.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. As we told some of you before, and what has to do with this thing around the circles here, are bulletins that Matthew and I did for the gospel lessons for each of the A, B, and C cycles of Lutheran worship. And this is from the Gospel of Mark. And what we were trying to do is have some of our imagery talk to itself. So that if you, for example, here are looking into the tomb, there is an angel robed in white. You've got the option when you do these things to say, what's my point of view? Is it going to be the people that came to the tomb and see that? Or might it be the angel's point of view, looking at the women that have come? So we did a number of series in which we did this kind of dialogue imagery of two images for each lesson.
And this is one of those times when the happy accident of art is just a little weird, because as we described in earlier sessions, when we were designing these things, the first thing that happened was he did an overall painting. Big, big painting, kind of like 6 foot by 4 foot, something
almost
like that.
Just gestures.
Yeah. In this particular one, it is the cathedral. If you look at one of these things floating around here, shows over there, shows the cathedral, and you can see the top.
Oh my gosh.
Oh. Whoa.
I told you, it wouldn't have gotten done with just me.
Oops.
I thought this was for the little red dot. Runs the whole thing.
The top of the cathedral door is right here.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
And the cross is going right up there.
Yeah.
And so it's going right into the tomb and right out of the tomb. And it wasn't our design.
I just happened to see that and I said, oh, there's the empty cross.
Yeah, yeah. It's the empty cross. But we had no way before, you know, designing these things to know how many Sundays there were in Epiphany and how many Sundays there were after Christmas. So the fact that this cross is going right into the tomb is completely a happy accident.
Okay. this is an important one for us. We named our School of Art down the road around Leavenworth, Washington, which got started with the idea of Holden, and the name of the school is the Grunewald Guild. This is Matthias Grunewald, and it is just an explosion. And I think the artist, you would have to, in order to understand the sweep of drama, you'd have to really understand what he did for the crucifixion, because everything is sagging. It's just sagging down. In fact, the feet of Christ on the cross have ballooned way out of proportion because all of the liquid in his body has gone down to his feet. And you don't see that in a crucifixion scene very often, but Grunewald was very specific about both suffering and joy. He's got very exuberant and very, very ponderous.
And those of you who were here yesterday may recall that on the crucifixion, on this altarpiece, the Christ figure was covered in sores, absolutely covered in what was called St. Anthony's fire.
Yeah.
And so the resurrection is absolutely clean as well as pure.
Not a blemish. In fact, it's so pure you can't even look at it. In the profession, we call that halating. It halates. And it creates almost like halos around the body. This is what Ruskin referred to as the greatest painting ever done. I don't know where he gets his information. It's a great painting, no question. But he obviously fell in love with this. This is Piero della Francesca. And this is a Christ that you really don't want to mess with. Okay? Where are those Roman soldiers? You know, they're all asleep. They've been overwhelmed. And Christ is almost victorious to a fault, because who's looking? Who's looking at this? Is he posing for the Marys? They're not anywhere in this scene. It's a posture of strength and victory. And
what's the date of this painting?
1421.
Remember the Crusades?
Yeah.
Got the same cross, the same flag, the Crusades.
I have no idea, but if I'll tell you, if a division of them happened to be at the church where this was put, they would probably be asking for points, especially if they contributed to the budget for this. Seriously, I mean, that was the way it was, still is. Okay.
You can also notice on the top of the hill in the horizon, the crosses.
Can you make those out?
No.
I can't.
Who's the artist of this painting?
It looks like he's standing on the picture frame.
This is Piero della Francesca.
That's the front of the sarcophagus. He is actually standing in it with his foot on the front edge.
I'm still convinced that one soldier is wearing spandex.
He got really insulted by that. This guy kind of wearing athletic running gear or something. Skin, extra skin. Okay. To contrast that, who is this?
Rembrandt.
Oh, good. Yay, Rembrandt. A almost an explosion. The lid has just flown off. And evidently some people happen to be sitting on it. The angel is saying, get off his lid. And who is he? The little guy down here. Jesus just taking a break in the corner of the sarcophagus. It's been a hard couple days. I'm just going to let the angel take care of this. If you can pin down to one of the top five artists who ever did white, painted white, Rembrandt's got to be one of them. Just astonishing, unbelievable, and we'll see some more of those. Okay. Here is a resurrection that I did for a church in Iowa, and it's all ceramic. When they asked me to do this, I had to find out, first of all, how do we get that up there? They wanted it up there because they put in a brand new pipe organ, and within 1 year, all the leathers had deteriorated because it got in the 100 degrees, and the thing was like an oven. So they wanted something that would, you know, kind of temper that a little bit. So we used clay, different thicknesses, and then I went around Iowa to see what Christ, if he ascended in Iowa, what would he be ascending through? And I discovered that in Iowa, the clouds are unique. The clouds scud. That's the word they use for the clouds. They scud, and that means they do this. That, have you heard of the Scud missiles?
Yeah.
They fly the way these clouds. That's where the Scud came from for the missiles, because they just kind of meander all over the sky.
Where is this located?
Oh, I was afraid someone was going to ask.
Perry, Iowa.
Perry. Thank you. Perry, Iowa. Yeah. We decided that we would do the whole thing ourselves in the church parking lot, and we put a kiln in there to cook the stuff, and we hired, in a manner of speaking, the catechism class, forced labor.
I liked it better than sitting in a classroom.
Absolutely, they did. They had a ball. I drew a target on the side of the church and taught them how to throw spitballs and things like that. I mean, you got to keep them loose. But they went down to the creek bed and pulled up clay, and learned how to make clay, viable clay out of running water, and we got the glazes from home. It was a fun thing. Do we have another picture? Yeah, we do have another. No?
Not of this.
Well, then let me just bring the story to completeness. The families, particularly of the children, who have signed whichever thing they worked on, it's got their initials or whatever, they're on there. But at the dedication, it was stunning. Shocking. There were only 6 Jewish people in the whole town. And these 2 families came up to me afterwards and thanked me for incorporating a menorah into the composition. That was the first time I noticed. Well, you know how you hung at Helen Hall, and I said, well, of course, it was so appropriate, I thought, you know. On and on and on, what a wooden bell, you know. But if you wanted to see somebody running all over the place and letting their parents know who did what, those kids, this was their summer project, and they were proud. In fact, the community got so proud of this thing that they ordered a lamppost to be built on the opposite side with floods on it. So this thing reads beautifully at night. And you're talking Iowa, okay? So you can see this thing from both coasts. I love Iowa. Okay. Another work in process. A church in Geneva, a Lutheran church. The congregation is affiliated with Lutheran World Federation, okay? And their pastor, Stephen Larson, asked if I would. We had done a number of sessions with them, art and Holy Week. And this time I thought we would try and create a work of art. Then after Holy Week, all of that part of Europe goes on vacation. So I would take people to my favorite art in the area. And we got really close to these people. And so we decided this year, the Lutheran World Federation emphasis was on the plight of political prisoners. And so instead of a cross, we had bars of a jail cell. So Christ is hanging on those bars, okay? It's kind of rough. You'll see it. It's pretty rough. I mean, there are swaddling fabric, bandages. It's a struggle to pull Christ off that cross, and things are not quite yet victorious. Okay.
You did this over the course of the week, right?
A week. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the last painting I did, this was all in the back of the worshiping congregation. I painted the last painting on Easter service, during the Easter service. We don't need to go back, but there was an interesting afterthought, because Pastor Larson said, now, how do we take care of this? And I said, take care of it. Why do you want to take care of it? It's on paper. And he said, yeah, but if we take real good care of it, we'll be able to use it next year. And I said, well, if you had thought about that last Easter, I wouldn't be here. If you keep saving your stuff over and over, you're not leaving any room for creativity. Well, he said, okay, well, I'll wrap it up and you can take it home. I don't want it. I did it for you. And he said, okay, then we should be able to do what we want with it. He and I are like brothers. We just squabble back and forth. We have for decades. And he's now a pastor in Chicago at St. Luke's Hospital Church out by the airport. Mm-hmm. Oh no, I think it's St. Mark's. At any rate, no problem. What? He said, if you won't take it and you won't let us do anything with it, what should we do? And I said, well, you think about it and I'll think about it. And this evening over dinner at your place, I was a bachelor at the time. I mean, I was batching it. and I was missing my wife, and I was just kind of a little grumpy. But I said, I'll have a thought for you at dinner tonight. And at dinner that night, I said, here's what I propose. That the Sunday, after the Sunday morning worship next Sunday, we will take this to the front of the church and we will burn it. We'll burn it and we'll have a kind of a wire screen thing that we can burn it in. And then we will, on the following Good Friday, use the ashes for our foreheads. They did that. They did that. And they almost felt more like they owned the painting after that than they did before. Yeah. You got to be a little careful, I think, with how much preciousness we give to the cost of things and not to the meaning of things. So we skip over an awful lot of meaning every now and then. And besides, that really didn't cost hardly anything at all, except room and board. Yeah. This is one of the delightful times and delightful subjects for art throughout the centuries. And that's Jesus rising from the grave and having people kind of like, you know, is that you? Is that you? And the title for this period in Christ's life is called Nolo Me Tangere, touch me not. Don't touch me. And sometimes the pictures of don't touch me are really very humorous. I think I have one. But this is, yeah, there's Jesus. It's a great gesture, especially when you consider this is 50 feet up in the air and you can't see it. I don't know what Romanesque artists are thinking, and I'm sure the sculptors get cheated. When you have to carve all of this out of marble on three sides, okay, and you can't even see it. Now, some of these, luckily, have become very fragile up there, and they've taken them down and put them in a little collection off the entrance to the worship space. They're easier to look at, but this one still can't see it. Okay? An icon. And icons have the freedom and the heritage, the historic heritage, of being able to paint, for example, polyscenic or polyhistoric images, that is, two or three things happening simultaneously, even though they took place at different times. So you've got Jesus back there with the two angels sitting on his sarcophagus. He looks like a baby. He's all wrapped up like a baby in the sarcophagus. And here he is, standing up, speaking to Mary, and there he is heading off towards his ministry. He's getting ready to go to Emmaus. Okay? I love this. Look at this one. Touch me not. Except we're going to do the boogaloo or the frug or whatever this is. They are getting it on. This is just a dance. It's just totally. Look at, she's on her toes. This is cool. And this is coming as a surprise, I'm sure, to some of you who think of the Spanish art as being rather dour. This is Spanish. And Jesus should have a cape, you know, playing a game out there in front of the tomb. It's carved out of ivory. And it's a beauty. This is one of my favorite art pieces, all about Easter. This is wonderful. Another bulletin set. Mary Magdalene is thinking that the guy who rose is a farmer, or some, you know, the gardener on the property. And there he is. No wonder she was a little confused. He is kind of looking like a farmer, but he wants to know, why are you weeping? So this is these are things having conversations among themselves. This is Peter. Oh, Peter. He's my favorite. I behave closer to Peter than anybody. And this is where I'd be. I'd be in the drink.
You know, this is the gospel story that proves that Jesus was a mariachi band leader. He told them, cast nets on the other side of the boat.
Where'd you go to seminary?
Seminary School of Religion.
Oh, yeah. Well, that explains a lot. Yeah, well, you're excused. That's fine. That's great. Good on you.
Who was the artist?
Oh, let me look.
Witz.
W-I-T-Z. He's from Switzerland. Bowing Thomas. Walking right through the door. He walks through the door and he says, peace. Wow. He's really asking a lot.
I noticed the other disciples are hiding behind.
Right.
Yeah.
Literally.
This is a literal depiction. This is by one of my favorite artists who was a scamp. Caravaggio got into more trouble. I cannot resign the life he led with the art that he did. It just makes no sense to me. But Caravaggio got into trouble when he was playing tennis with somebody, and he lost, and he jumped the net and killed the guy with his tennis racket. And from then on, he was wandering all over Sicily and the toe of Italy and all over the place, and he couldn't sit still because the gendarmes were trying to chase him down. But his paintings are just absolutely amazing. There he's sticking his finger into the side of Jesus. And Jesus is guiding his hand. He's saying, do this. He's not just poking around.
What date was that?
What?
What date was that painting?
Date?
Yeah. Period.
Oh. It's Renaissance.
It's post Renaissance. It's on the verge of being Baroque. I don't have it written down, but I would say probably 1504, maybe something like that. May 2nd, 2:30 in the afternoon.
What was the weather like?
That's right. Yeah, little sun came out. Well, you know this fellow, don't you? Sadeo-san, Sadeo Watanabe, a Lutheran artist in Japan. And I'll tell you, his life among the Japanese religious was really a trial. And a delightful man. I spent some time with him in Japan, and he was the first master artist of the Grunewald Guild. And all of his work is done with stencils. He was originally trained as a fabric designer in a factory, and all of the patterns on the fabric would be done with stencils. So he just kept that going. It is so Japanese. He did not get ruined by looking at old Lutheran art. No, I'm serious about it. I'm not complaining about the Lutheran art. Well, a little bit, but I thinking that there is only really one viable way to do this, and that's somehow Western, or Renaissance, or whatever. And to have a country like Japan come up with really gorgeous Christian stuff, that's miraculous. And I don't know, the Last Supper, and you're having sushi and grouper. that wasn't the way it read to me, but that's, he personalizes it. Here's another one. Now we are, Animaeus. Jesus made himself known in the breaking of the bread. All right? Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him.
And he disappeared from their sight.
That's right. He's on the way. That's right. Exactly. Thank you for that. Yeah. He's on the way. These are really an interesting ending to the walk from Emmaus to Emmaus from Jerusalem. There are a lot of people that are affiliated, for example, with the pilgrimage that takes place Santiago de Compostela, and a lot of faith lessons to be learned along the way. But if you see any pictures of Christ along the way, and there are quite a few, Santiago de Compostela, Jesus would be wearing on his vestments a shell, which is the sign of the trip to Santiago. So he becomes a pilgrim with the pilgrims that are going to Santiago, which means that technically St. James. St. James was thought to have been buried in Spain, Santiago de Compostela. They've made a big thing out of that belief system. They've got a cathedral that is just knock your socks off. All these pilgrims go in and they take off all their boots and everything, and they go up into the upper balconies of the cathedral. Whew, whoa, put them shoes back on, whoa, it just reeks. And then, but the church has designed something special. It is an incense burner that is almost half the size of this. It is huge, and it takes 8 guys pulling on ropes to get that thing to swing back and forth in the chancel, just to get rid of the smell of the pilgrims.
Okay.
Now, the incense burner is called the gigante, the giant, but you want to sit up on, not in the nave, but on the side aisles, because when that comes whooping down, belching fire and smoke and going, boy, it is so Catholic.
Can I ask you a question about process here?
Yeah, absolutely.
Your choice to have the two disciples both be male. One of them is named in the passage, but the other is unnamed. And there's some people who think that she may have been a woman.
Well, if it was a she, it was a woman. Which one of these is not a woman?
Well, the guy with the beard probably is a guy.
Yeah.
And the other one looks to me like he's got at least a 5 o'clock shadow.
Mm-hmm. 5 o'clock shadow.
Well, I can answer that. The background texture was there before we created any image. So the color that you are seeing is simply applied to the background, whether it was orange, red, blue, purple, yellow, doesn't matter. It was just applied. It was applied there. So
I don't see his cheek, which is where a 5 o'clock shadow would lodge. But at any rate, it's a good point. It is a good point. And let me tell you, all of this was done before we even knew there was a woman there. Okay. I mean, it could have been. Uh-huh. And you know, we could make up something, but until somebody tells you, you know, and says, why don't you think about this? Uh-huh. Why don't you take this at least as an option? We didn't even know it was a problem. It's a problem from this painting on, I'll tell you. And we've done more and emphasized the duality of the presence.
By the way, process-wise also, bread was one of the things that I was very literal with. So a lot of the things are painterly in terms of texture. The bread is bread. It's the outside of bread, it's the inside of bread. It was scanned in directly and utilized as bread.
It's a photograph of bread. Not really a photograph, but it is from bread direct.
Can I ask a question?
Uh-huh.
A church manager that I knew was very upset whenever, yeast, bread with yeast, made with yeast was used for communion. He said it's supposed to be unleavened bread. How do you feel about that? I see this as a loaf of bread.
I feel just great about it, but I don't think they're sinning involved here. I think if it were unleavened, we would not have as bready bread as we got with the other stuff. That's not to excuse it, but art is not literal. I mean, we've got, why don't people complain about the tomb lid being sliding all over the place, you know? But we can't afford to get tied up in, you know, it's the fact of the matter is, whatever it was a miracle, and you don't, and Jesus could make a miracle like that out of a loaf of wonder. Okay. I'm serious. I don't take this as a, you know, as chastising. It's that in the moment of faith in which you attack these things and try and image them, there are things that are of primary importance and things that are of lesser importance. As long as we can take this as Christ sharing the meal, I don't want to get into a debate on what's on the menu.
Mm. Does the Bible say anything that it shouldn't be unleavened bread, or doesn't it? I don't know.
Well,
I think it would be, probably. I
depends
think
on which meal. Whether it's your Last Supper meal, or the meal at Emmaus, or...
Not the Last Supper.
Right.
No, it wouldn't be a wafer, which I find an offense.
Yeah.
You know, that's fish food. You know, those little wafers. I scrape those off the roof of my mouth. I got a cleft palate, boy. I could spit one of those through my nose. You don't want to give me a wafer, boy. Let's leave the bread here and move right along. Now here is a fascinating picture. This is Caravaggio again, like we saw the last time. Look at this guy's arm. It's like this painting is as flat as the back of your hand, and this guy's arm is coming way, way out. Jesus looks like a woman. Could be. It would be Caravaggio who could pull that off in the Renaissance, because he was looking for a fight wherever he went. But I think this is marvelous. Croatia. Look at that fish. Oh, yes. Well, you wanted reality. There is reality. Oh, boy.
Oh, the bill here.
Who is this?
Rembrandt.
Rembrandt. Good. Good. Chiaroscuro, the juxtaposition of bright light and dark. right next to one another. And he gets away. And look what he does with his next one on the same subject. Jesus is now in the process of going away. He's getting ready to disappear. Here's an Emmaus that I worked with for 2 years. And my first, they said, come down and give us your opinion. they had no idea. I did, and I said, I can't imagine the disciples and Jesus even fitting behind that screen up there in front of the altar. The perfectly good, workable church. Wonderful, wonderful people. But the facility was dark, black wood. And I kid you not, a bonbon dish for a baptismal. It was. Emmaus. I don't think so. There's the guys on the way to Emmaus with Jesus. But look at all that lumber. So we did a painting in their new narthex of Emmaus and the road to Emmaus. And that's their new chancel.
Wow.
Which moves wherever you want it to go. The teenagers did the mural with me in the church. And it's the seasons of the church here that just kind of goes around the whole thing. Sometimes they will turn everything around and face the back of this new facility. The Passion narrative. The back of their facility is the baptistry, and it is a whole other sacred space. This is their processional cross with Jesus and the wine and the bread and a piece of iridized glass that changes everything depending upon where light comes. So it is a kind of cross where little miracles can happen as you press process them. Okay? Do you know the word tanka? It's a Nepalese art form. And they would have a Buddha in the center and the life of the Buddha going around and around. This is the life of Christ. And Christ is in the middle of a Nepalese tanka. That's the life of Christ all through there. It would take you weeks to cover it all.
Where is that? Where is that located?
On my son's living room wall.
Oh, okay.
No, he works in India, and so we have friends in Nepal, and these are readily obtainable. I think it's a marvelous, almost a, it's not a conversion experience. It's almost celebrating a number of things simultaneously. This is a woman's weaving, which contains a resurrection. The descent from the cross, the resurrection, and an ascension.
Who did it?
Isabel Picek. She's from Hungary. Isn't that neat? Isn't that strong?
Yeah,
that is very strong. The ascension. Mm-hmm. And what does Jesus see? He's above the clouds. Try one more time. Mm-hmm. does God the Father see? In fact, the lesson for that day was Jesus talking to his Father. I am coming to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.